Try and finish the parak. Says the Mishnah, Zov Shera'o Keri. Now, this is actually a Mishnah that we quoted earlier on in the parak. It was in Daf Chof, on the base. So, what's a Zov? What's a Keri? What's a Poiletes? What's a Meshameshes? What's a Nida? What's going on over here? So, very, very brief introduction. The concept of a Nida, as we well know, a woman whose guf emits dam, she becomes tummy for 7 days. That is essentially her tumah. A poiletes is something else. A poiletes is when the guf does not emit dam, but rather the wife and the husband have had relations. Within 3 days of having relations, the zera from the husband can now be there's a word for an English, I can't remember it. Emitted is a better word. It'll come to me in a second. But the guf of the isha expels, that's the word, expels this zera, and that will be metameha for a day. That will be metameha for a day. So we have these two potential tumas when it comes to an isha, either a full-blown seven-day tumas nido, or if she ever is a poletes, poletes means to spew out. If she's a poletes, the zera of the husband shall become tummy for 1 day. It's two separate tumis. Now, a poletes is the equivalent of the male version, which is a balkeri. A man can also become tummy for 7 days, and that's called a zov. When his guf emits this type of substance 3 days in a row, then he becomes tummy for a week. But if he is a balkeri means just as a one-off, his guf expelled this type of substance, and he also becomes tummy for a day. So every time he has relations, he also will necessarily become tummy. What does it mean, tummy? It's not absolutely tummy. As we've seen earlier on in the perek, this is the takona of takonas Ezra, that he should not say Dvarim Shepa Kedusha without first being Matayr himself. That's really the subject of this Mishnah. So now the Shaila now becomes, what happens if you have one Tumah absorbed in another? Meaning, let's look straight away at the Mishnah. Zov, Shera'o Keri. Somebody was a Zov. He was a Zov anyway, which means no questions asked, he's going to be Tomei for 7 days, whatever happens. Even if he goes into the mikvah now 1,000 times, it's not going to help him, because he's got to be, he'll be Tomei till the end of 7 days. So during that 7 days, he's now just waiting for the 7 days to elapse, and now he becomes a Baal Keri. The Guf, once again, ignites Keri. So he now cannot say Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. Now here we have perhaps a paradoxical situation. You will have somebody who is more Tommy and yet be allowed to say Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. Somebody who is a Zov for 7 days, obviously we don't tell him now, don't say Kriya Shema for a week. He's allowed to say Kriya Shema. But somebody who's only a temporary Tommy, like a Baal Keri, he cannot say Dvarim Shebe Kedusha. That was a takana of Ezra. So the question now becomes, this person was a Zov anyway, and now he becomes a Keri. So does the Takana of Ezra apply to him? Or perhaps it doesn't apply to him. Why? Because what's the point of going to the mikveh? He's not going to become Tohir anyway because he has a long-standing Zov issue. That's case number one. Zov, Shera'o, Keri. Second case, which is the same type of principle, the nido, a woman who was already a nido, and now shepolta shechva zera, and now her guf expelled zera from the husband, which means, again, she was tameya for 7 days, no questions asked, and she's allowed to say dvarim shebe kedusha, but now she became what's called a poiletes. Or the other way around. She was a meshameshes. She had relations with her husband, the chashash poiletes. She ro'as on nido, and now she became a nido. Not first a nido and then a poiletes, but rather a meshameshes and then a nido. So the Mishnah says tzricha tvila. All these cases, you do have to be tevil in the mikveh v'Rabbi Yehuda paita. Now, why do you have to be tevil in the mikveh? It's a tremendous chiddush. Because you're actually, it's almost a quiz question. How can there be a case where you will chuyiv to tevil in the mikveh, but you will not become tahor? And the answer is the three cases that we just said. The Zov, for example, on the fifth day of his Zivas, became now a Baal Keri. He's going to go into the mikveh. He's not going to become tahor. Why is he not going to become tahor? Because the 7 day Zivas has not finished. And yet the Takana of Ezra still applies. It's a tremendous chiddush with which Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So have a look at Rashi. It says Rashi, Zov, Shiro, Keri. Even though he is Tommy for 7 days anyway, Mishum Ziva, the Ein Tvila Zu Metaharosoi Koma, and this Tvila is not going to be Metahir him. In which case, I would have thought that there's no point going to the mikveh in the first place. Afilo Achi, nonetheless. Sorich tvila ledivrei Torah. Nonetheless, he does need to go into the mikveh in order to be allowed to say divrei Torah ketakonas Ezra, in accordance with the takon of Ezra, mishum keri, because of the keri. So too, v'chei nido, she is already tomei for 7 days in bo'ol hispalel yudches, if she wants to now dab shmona Ezra. Rashi obviously doesn't choose the example of a woman wanting to say Divrei Torah. There's no reason why she should be learning. But she might want to daven. Shepolto shechva zera. That is also, says Rashi, harehi kabal keri. She essentially becomes the equivalent of the female equivalent of a bal keri. How do I know? Kada ashkechon besinai. As we find when it came to Matan Torah, shloishes yomim al tigshuel isha. For 3 days prior to Matan Torah, they were not allowed to have relations with their wives. Lefi sheshich vazera, the zera of the husband, metame bepleitose, will be metame whilst as it is expelled. Kol shleisha for 3 days. Why is it only for 3 days? Because ulaachar mikan, because after 3 days, even though in theory the guf still can expel the zera, 5 days later, but kvar hisriach begufo. It has already become hisriach moldy, or become, I'm not sure a better translation for it. The zera is only potent for 3 days.
Spoiled, perhaps.
Become spoiled, right, it becomes spoiled. And what happens after that? The ein ro'u oid lahazriach. It has no ability anymore after 3 days to now fertilize. Liyois oid vlad noitzar himeno, for a child to be born from that. So, Rav Avraham, you sound like you're inside a cockpit or something.
No, I'm okay.
Maybe it should be muted. So either way, so the zera of the husband is potent for 3 days. So it's during those 3 days that if the guf of the isha expels the zera, she becomes tomei. V'hochi pirusha, and that's what it means. Nido shepolto ato hatashmish. A nido whose guf expelled zera. Sheshimsha esmoil, she had relations yesterday, koidem sheros, or before she saw dam. What's Rashi bothered by? Rashi's bothered by the obvious question. How can a nidor possibly expel zera? She's not allowed to have relations with her husband in the first place. Says Rashi, it's true. She had relations before she became a nidor. So she had relations with her husband on Sunday night. She became a nidor on Monday morning. Now, Monday night, the guf may well still expel the zera. It's within 3 days of that original tashmish. So here again, once again, if she now goes to the mikveh, she will not become tahir. Nonetheless, the pshita, the Tanakama, tremendous chiddush, is that the takon of Ezra still applies.
Does she not? The fact that she sees it, the Gemara seems, or the Mishnah seems to say, is the significant part. I mean, she had relationship with her husband. She didn't become Nida until the next day. Between that time, between the relationships, doesn't she have a status of being Tamei?
Only if she's a Poiletis. Only if the group actually expelled the Zera.
Okay.
In the case of the man, the very fact he had relations, so we know that his guf expelled Zera.
Okay.
If the expulsion of the Zera from the guf, either from his guf or from hers, that will render them, as it were, a carry, which is not so serious, but that's when you have the takon of Ezra. So here we're seeing a tremendous chiddush. That's literally a quiz question. How can it be that somebody's mechuyev to go to the mikveh and it won't be metaher then? The answer is, brachos da chovav amadalef. In order to be allowed to say Dvarim Shefa Kedusha, in accordance with the Takana of Ezra, the Chiddush, at least of the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, but the Chiddush of the Tanakama is that you'll have to go to the mikveh, despite the fact that you have a more serious, long-lasting tumor, which will not be removed by going to the mikveh. Rabbi Yehuda Poita. Now, why does Rabbi Yehuda Poita? Kosal Kedatoch. We always point out when Rashi says kosal kadatoch, what does that mean? It's just a havamin, it's going to change. But at this stage of the game, how do we understand Rabbi Yehuda? Kosal kadatoch hashta. We think at the moment that you know why Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't work. Ha yil v'tumas ziva koidemes. Because let's say in case number one, when the man was Tommy Zov, and that hit him first. Baharehu Tome Tuma Chamuro, and that is a tuma which is more stringent. The Einoi Oisratoi B'divrei Toira, and paradoxically, that more serious tuma does not prohibit him from saying Divrei Toira. Kedomrinon Be'erbin Azov Barkin Azovin Bamutzeroim. All of these people are mutarim; they're allowed to be. Misasek in Divrei Torah, comma. Therefore, su loy asya tumas keri. Tumas keri cannot now come along dekila. What does that mean, dekila? It is more lenient the astralei to prohibit him to say Divrei Torah. Meaning, at this stage of the game, we're going to see it's going to change, and I think everybody can already guess why it is. But it cannot be, says Rabbi Yehuda, this is how we understand him at this stage of the game. It cannot be, it's paradoxical, it can't be. It can't be that somebody who becomes a Zov, which is a Tuma Chamura, a more stringent Tuma, he's allowed to say Divrei Torah, and now a Tuma Kilo, a less severe Tuma, lands on his head, and now suddenly he does become osa to say Divrei Torah. That makes no sense. In the regular case of Baal Keri, when he's Tomei only with the lightweight Tumah, fine, so that was a takon of Takonas Ezra. But it cannot coexist at the time when he's Tomei Tumah Chamura, which did not have the koyach to prohibit him to say Divrei Torah. Now, says the Gemara, Iboya lohu, we have a shayla, Baal Keri Shero'o Ziva. Remember, the Mishnah spoke about the reverse case. What was the reverse case? He's a Zov who became a Baal Keri, not a Baal Keri who became a Zov. So there's definitely two tumors that we're dealing with over here, a heavyweight and a lightweight. The case of the Mishnah is where he was already Tomei with the heavyweight tumor. So the lightweight cannot land on the heavyweight. But what about the other way around? When he first was a Baal Keri and then was a Ziva, L'Rabbi Yehuda, Mahu? Question mark. What would be the halacha according to Rabbi Yehuda at that point? What's the shayla? The Gemara explains. Ki potar Rabbi Yehuda Hasam. When does Rabbi Yehuda exempt you from tefillah over there in the Mishnah? Maybe that's only in the reverse case. Bezov shira'a keri, when you have the big tumah followed by the small. Deme'ikara, because in the beginning, when he had the more serious tumah on his head, lav bar tefillah hu. What does it mean, a lav bar tefillah? He wasn't in the parasha of tefillah b'chal. Tefillah was a non-issue for him. Somebody becomes a tomei, tumah chamura of a ziva, he does not need to tovel, and tefillah won't help. There's no takonas Ezra for somebody who's a zov. So maybe that's when Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, if the big time tumah hit him, and at that stage he was a lav bar tefillah, so now the lightweight tumah, which came second in the queue, can't change that status. But according to that, perhaps the other way around, it would be different. Aval balkeri shira oziva. But in the case of when he was initially a balkeri, when he became a keri in the beginning, before he became a ziva, do we all agree that if you freeze the situation, when he became a keri, he was a bar tevila? So once that chiyav tevila kicked in, maybe the fact that he became a zov afterwards does not remove the chiyav tevila. In the kalkeri shira ziva demiikara bar tevila hu machayev. So maybe he would be machayev. Or in Dilma, or perhaps Loishna, or maybe it would make no difference. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda does not differentiate. Either way, if you have two tumois on your head, I could not care less which order they came. Maybe in every case, Rabbi Yehuda would exempt you. We're not sure. Says Rashi, Lav bar tviluhu ledivrei Torah, when he became a tumah ziva, Bafal pav, bafal pisha tumosei chamura, even though his tummy was more stringent, but he does not need to be tovel for divrei Torah. Therefore, v'sur lo yasi, therefore, after that, it can't come along, keri u'matzrich lei, to necessitate tvila. That's the shayla. Says the Gemara, there's a very simple proof from the Mishnah. Toshma, let's learn the Mishnah. Hamashameshes. The ro'as onido. Remember, we had a case in the Mishnah, which was the last one. She was a mashameshes, and then she became a nido. And what does it say there? Exactly the same machlokes. Tzricha tvila v'Rabbi Yehuda poita. Now, the mashameshes, she has relations, and she's now poilet shichva zera. That is the lightweight tumah. And when did she become the more serious heavyweight tumah? Only afterwards. So what do you see from that line? That Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in both directions. Says the Gemara, Vaha, surely, Meshameshes, V'ra'asonido, is the equivalent of Kabal Keri, Shira'a, Ziva, Damya. That can be compared, again, it's the female and male version, basically, where you're going not from heavyweight to lightweight. You're going from lightweight to heavyweight. So this Meshameshes, before she ever became a Nido, okay, she had relations on Sunday night. Monday morning, she is a Poiletes, she expels Shechva Zera. At that point, before anything else happens, Takonos Ezra applies. 5 hours later, Monday night, she becomes a nidah. And what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Ah, fine, so you don't need to go to the mikveh now. Even though, which tumah kicked in first? The lightweight tumah. So you see that nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and it works in both directions, says the Gemara, the kopota Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda nonetheless exempts you. Shmamino, so we hear from over here that yes, it makes no difference. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you are exempt in both cases. And in fact, Toni Rabbi Chiya Behedya. Rabbi Chiya actually had it explicit in the Braisa. The way Rabbi Chiya, what we learned was the Mishnah, but Rabbi Chiya had a Braisa in which it said, Balkeri Shera'a Ziva. A Balkeri who sees a Ziva in that order, lightweight, followed by heavyweight, Tzorich Tevila. Needs a Tevila. V'Rabbi Yehuda Poiter, Rabbi Yehuda exempts you. So you see, that which we medayek from the Mishnah is explicit. So the last line should really now go back to the Rashi that we saw a moment ago. Now we understand what Rashi means when he says, Kosal Kedato. It was only a Havamina. What did Rashi say? The Havamina was that once the heavyweight Tumah landed, the lightweight Tumah cannot take effect after that. I'm sorry to say, that's only a Havamina. That doesn't remain the Maskana. Because the Maskana, we see that what? It's not because the heavyweight Tumah took effect first. Even if the lightweight Tumah took effect first, Rabbi Yehuda would say exactly the same. And that's why Rashi says it's only a kasal kedatoch. At this stage of the game, that's the way we understood Rabbi Yehuda, that maybe he's only talking about where the heavyweight Tumah hit first. And with that, my Rabbi Yisai, we finish a very difficult perek. The third perek of Brachas, which if I'm not mistaken, means we have now learned Prokim 2, 3, 4, and 6. Now, I thought carefully about what we should continue with. It would, in theory, be nice to try and learn the whole Masechta, which means we should really go back and do Prokim number 1 and 5. The problem with Prokim number 1 and 5 is that they are full of Agadata. When you get stuck into very, very long Amudim of Agadata, it's rather heavy reading and it's, I mean, you have to learn all of Shas, it's true, but I'm not sure if that'll be of maximum te'elis. So we really have two choices, or maybe three choices. Choice number one is we could go to the seventh perek, Shloisha She'ochlu, beautiful perek, all the halachas of Zimun. That's one option. Another option is to switch Masechta completely, which I don't really see why we should. If we're in Brachas, we should keep on going with Brachas. The third option is indeed to go back to the Prokim that we missed out and at least do those parts of the Gemaras which are not Agadata. You know, occasionally we do learn Agadata. If it's just, you know, half an Omad or sometimes even an Omad, that's one thing. But when you have two or three Daf in a row of Agadata, which you've got in the first and the third Perek, first and the fifth Perek, excuse me, then it's a little bit slow going. So those are our options. I think at this stage, maybe we should just go to the seventh perek. We'll see, maybe we'll come back one day to the first and the fifth. So I think the plan is going to be, Be'ez Hashem, beginning of next month. Elul, if I'm not mistaken, Rosh Chodesh is on a Sunday and Monday. Sunday and Monday, which means the first day doesn't will be a Monday. We'll be in touch closer to the time, Be'ez Hashem. Maybe just to conclude the Zman, we have Tisha B'Av coming up very shortly. Let me just share with you if we have, how's the clock doing? It hasn't even appeared yet. Maybe just a few minutes. I had a thought this year which I'd like to share with you. And those of you who are part of our Vav Musa on Monday night, I made brief reference to this on Monday night. We just finished learning the middah of Shtika. I'll tell you exactly how this thought came to me. This thought came to me, and this I did mention on the Monday night vad for those who are with you. It was when my chavrusa in Koilel, a young avreich in his 20s, asked me a very innocent question. And he said to me, I was standing in the supermarket the other day, standing in the queue with my shopping cart, emptying the goods, and there was a fellow there who obviously was very keen to get his hands on my shopping cart, on the trolley, there were none available. And he asked me once, and then twice, and then three times, and then four times, have you finished, have you finished, have you finished, have you finished? And every time I took out a bag, no, have you finished now? And he said, he was driving me crazy. And to the end, I just told him, you know, just leave me alone, and when I've finished, I'll tell you, and stop bugging me. And he asked me, did I do the right thing? Was that okay to speak to him like that? After all, he was driving me crazy. And it was really that question that triggered the following thought. And I said to him as follows. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia a tremendous chiddush. The Gemara says the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed because Klal Yisrael did not conduct themselves lifnim mishuras hadin. What does that mean, lifnim mishuras hadin? There is, as we know, the strict letter of the law, that's din, and then there is lifnim mishuras hadin when you go beyond the letter of the law, being machme. Because they did not conduct themselves lifnim mishuras hadin, rather they kept to the strict letter of the law, so the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And that obviously needs some serious explanation. What on earth does that mean? It doesn't say they weren't learning Torah, and it doesn't say they weren't keeping mitzvahs. And in fact, it doesn't say they weren't keeping the strict letter of the law. They were. But because they didn't go beyond the letter of the law, that's why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Furthermore, doesn't it say elsewhere that the reason why the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed was some very serious aveiros? Gilei aroyes, shlichas damim, vayezara, zilzul b'Torah, sinas chinam, etc., etc. So which one was it? And I believe the answer is as follows, and I think this is a very practical, important lesson that can be learned, and this is what I answered my chavrusa. A person can have two types of relationships with someone else. The Mesillas Yesharim talks about this, and the Mesillas Yesharim says, we're all aspiring to be chassidim, the middle of chassidus. What does that mean, chassidus? So he says, I'll tell you. If your beloved parent asks you for a cup of water because he says, I'm absolutely exhausted, finished, thirsty, the loving son brings his father a cup of water, but also a piece of cake. The father never asked for a piece of cake, but I know he wants it. Whereas the slave, when he's asked by his master to bring a piece of cake, what does he bring? Piece of cake, nothing more. If he's asked for a cup of water, brings a cup of water. Why? Because this slave, his entire relationship with his master is, I just want to steer out of trouble. Whatever he tells me I have to do, I do, and that's it. You've got no complaints against me. You asked me for a cup of water, I brought it to you. Yeah, but surely the master wants more than that, but he never asked me. Whereas the loving son, his relationship is very different. I know that's what he said, but what does he mean? Like we always say, Hachi Ka'oma. What does he mean? What does he want? I'm trying to go beyond what he asked me. And every person can choose what type of relationship you would like with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. By the letter of the law, Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is what you told me to do. I did it. I'm out of trouble. Or do I go lifnim mishuras hadin? Kodesh Baruch Hu says, my relationship with you is on your terms. You choose. Do you want to be Kerachim Av Albonim, Imka Bonim or Imka Avodim? Which one did you want? What's the difference? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however you conduct yourself towards me, I will conduct myself towards you. And if you always act accordance with the strict letter of the law, but not beyond, that's the middle of Din, then I will treat you with Din. But if you go beyond the letter of the law, then I will also stretch and I will also go beyond din, and we call that rachamim. Klal Yisrael were not noeg lefnim mishuras hadin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't go beyond the letter of the law, you want absolute din. I'll give you din then. You are over several averas, the Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed. But if you would only have conducted yourself lifnim mishuras hadin, beyond the strict letter of the law, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I would have done the same, and maybe I would have overlooked those averas. So ultimately, why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? Of course it was for the big averas, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have overlooked them if only Klal Yisrael would have acted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way. So I said to my friend, when somebody drives you crazy and asks for your shopping cart 10 times, is it the right thing to react and give them a piece of your mind? Could be. But it's not always right to be right. Because then you are doing, you are conducting yourself, your relationship is alpid din. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then will say, I'll treat you the same. Whatever is right, that's what way I'll treat you. And sometimes we ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam even for beyond which is right. I think I mentioned this in the Monday night bat. Somebody knocked on my door late at night, once, twice, three times, four times. He did not stop knocking. And eventually I opened the door and I was about to give him a piece of my mind. Why are you knocking incessantly? And then I realized, that don't I do the same? I knock on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door also constantly, three times a day, and I don't always deserve it. And I still beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for refuah, and for parnasa, and for chachma. What's right, I'll be din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll be din, will say, listen, don't drive me crazy. You davened this morning, I heard. No, but we come back again and again. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we say, I don't really deserve it. Who's to say that I've really been the best davener and the best learner and the best Baal Midas? And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm still asking you for all of these things. What do you mean? But you don't deserve it. Ah, you mean you're asking for rachamim. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me just see how you conduct yourself with others as well. If you conduct yourself with others as well, with rachamim, I will treat you the same. You want to yell at the person behind the queue for driving you crazy? You can. And you would be right, maybe. But it's not always right to be right. The whole story with Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Who was right in that story? If somebody comes to your house uninvited for a party, are you allowed to evict him? Yes. He's got no right to eat the food that you served and you paid for and you never invited him. But it's not always right to be right. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because of that story, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. You want to throw somebody out of your house because he doesn't deserve to be there? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will throw you out of my house as well because you don't deserve to be here. But had you only kept Bar Kamsa in your house, even though he doesn't deserve to be there, had you only conducted yourself with a midah of rachamim, then I would have done the same. But you didn't, because you didn't go lifnim mishuras hadin. Everything was by the strict letter of the law. And for that, we still have Tisha B'Av until today. So this is the thought I had. How often do we say things, or we react, or we feel that, you know, but it's our right. And we would indeed be right. But it's not always right to be right. Because if we always want to insist on being right, then we're running a terrible risk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will also, quote unquote, be right. And we're not always all right with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for refuah and for parnasa and for chokhmah. Do we really deserve it by rights? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you may not deserve this. So how can you ask for it? Because you want rachamim, let me just see that's the way you treat your spouse and your children and your friends and that annoying cab driver and the person who bugs you in the queue in the supermarket. If you conduct yourself lifnim mishuras hadin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzvah Hashem will treat us in the same way. I wish everybody a meaningful Tisha B'Av and an enjoyable Ben Azmanim, and we look forward to reconvening soon with Hashem.
Amen. Shkoyach, shkoyach, shkoyach.
Be well, everybody.